السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I don't know whether it was last week or the previous week we had discussed with regards to that buzurg who was invited to somebody's home, and when he came to the house, that person asked him, "So what you doing here?" I said, "No, you invited me." I said, "No, I didn't invite you." So he said, "All right, no problem, I'm going." So when he turned around to go, so that person called him back. He said, "Now where are you going? I invited you for a meal and now you're going away." So he came forward again. So that person told him again, he said, "No, you were going, go now. Why you came back?" So 2-3 times he did this. But this buzurg, he never got angry. He maintained his cool, composed. And eventually this person then went and he grabbed hold of him and he asked him for maafi. And then he explained that, "Look, the reality is that I was looking for somebody to make ta'alluq with, somebody to connect myself with. But I read up that generally a pious person, he has a lot of tolerance in him. So I was just checking your tolerance levels." So that type of a situation is unique. Like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he used to make Isha Salah and Fajr Salah with the same wudu, meaning he shouldn't sleep at night. Only in the afternoon, he used to take a little qailula, because the whole morning he used to be teaching. So one person now who knew that at that time he goes to rest. So he waited for him now, and he's gone in the house. So he waited a few minutes. Okay, now he must, and Imam Sahib had upper level to his house. So now he must be gone, must have now made himself comfortable to go to rest. So then he went and knocked the door. Now Imam Sahib has to put his kurta on again, everything, came downstairs, answered the door. So this person says that, "No man, no, I had one question for you, but I forgot. So 3 times he did this. After Imam Sahib went away, he waited again now. He said, "Oh, he must be now, he must have settled down, everything." He knocked the door again. He came back down, opened the door. See, you know, the question came to mind. Now when you open the door, I forgot again now. And then on the 3rd or the 4th occasion, he then asked Imam Sahib, he said, "No man, my question was, I wanted to find out whether human excreta is sweet or bitter." So Imam Sahib told him, "When it's wet, it's sweet. When it's dry, it's bitter." So he's asking Imam Sahib, "Say, well, you tasted it." Imagine somebody has to ask you these kind of questions. So Imam Sahib said, "No, I didn't taste it, but it is noticed that fresh human excreta, the flies go sit on it. But when it's dry, then the flies don't go sit on it." So Imam Sahib held himself, you know, throughout all of this, he held his composure, he still answered the person calmly, etc. So this is what you call tolerance, right? Tolerance. Now we can't be like Imam Sahib, but we must try. We must try in our own way to become more and more tolerant people. Now the example of that buzurg, of where that person told him, what you came here for, you know, back and forth. As I said to you, that was a unique situation. But that is not the norm, right? That is not the norm. The norm is istighnaiyat. You must have istighnaiyat. You must have some independence, right? So we'll see from this qissa, we'll learn what is adal, what is the norm. There was a prince, Azadi Rahmatullah Ali mentions, that this prince was from Iran. So he had come to India for a holiday. So obviously he got a lot of wealth, etc. He came now to India on a holiday. So during his travels in the early days, he met one nobleman, one wealthy business person of India. So they got talking, etc. And this person now gave him his card, you know, in the old days, to give card. So he gave him his card and he said, no, if you're coming my way, come pop in, pay me a visit also. So this prince took the particulars, took the card. He said, okay. Now sometime it is experienced that when a person, he goes to another country, he may be having a lot of wealth, but if he's, you know, irresponsible, and he starts having too much of a party, then his money also runs out. And those days was not like today's time, where there is internet banking and all these type of things. So if your money ran out, it ran out. Now you're in a problem. So this person, he got carried away there in India, and he was overindulging. With the result, he depleted all his funds, and now he was in a bit of a problem now. Now he didn't even have money for accommodation, didn't have money for food, etc. So he decided that I'd rather go visit that mota, you know, that nobleman, can get a loan from him or something. Let me go and see him. So he went to this person's house. And when this person answered the door and he saw him, so he made out now, this fellow now, he came for something, because you can see his condition now, you know. His condition is not looking like that time when I saw him first time. So this person, he recited a couplet. This businessman, he recited one couplet. He said, when the temperament of a lion changes to that of a jackal, he goes begging with his needs to the doors of others. In other words, you were like a share, you know. First when you came, you were like one lion. But now your condition has changed to that of a jackal. So when that happens, then he even goes to the doors of people to put his needs there, to beg from the people. So he mentioned this. So the prince was a prince. After all, he was a prince. So without any hesitation, he gave jawab. He responded to that couplet. And he said, you haven't seen a real lion. You haven't seen a real lion. You may have seen artificial lions. Because no matter what the condition of a masculine lion descends to, despite his needs, he still lashes out with sharp claws. So he answered with this couplet. Having recited this, he turned around and he started walking away. So that person now felt bad. You know, I did a wrong thing. So he realized his indiscretion, he realized his error, and he apologized profusely, again and again. He's walking behind the prince, and he's apologizing. The prince told him that, look, you are not worthy of associating with. You are not worthy of associating with, and he left. So, this is what you call istighna. what this prince displayed is istighna, right? That although he was in a need, but if that need was going to be fulfilled at the expense of his honor, his izzat, his respect, then he was not prepared for that. Right? That I came to you for some assistance, I came to you for some help. So if you're prepared to help me with izzat, with respect, then there's no problem. I will accept your help. But if you now, you're going to give help, and then you want to disgrace me, your help is at the expense of my izzat, then I don't need that kind of help. I don't need that kind of assistance. So this is what you call istighna, right? Istighna, to have that independence, that you don't lower yourself, put yourself so down for some worldly assistance, for some worldly help, just because of some help now you're prepared to, you know, bootlick, as they say. So this is what Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith sharif, that لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِي أَيَّذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ, that it is not appropriate, it is not correct for a believer to disgrace himself, to put himself into disgrace, put himself into embarrassment. So that incident of the Buzurg who went to the house, outwardly it would seem that is the same thing. He put himself into disgrace. That man was telling him, come, don't come, come, don't come. But as I said to you, that was a unique situation. Right? That was a unique situation because Allah Ta'ala wanted this person's hidayat. This person was looking for somebody, and in the end, he lowered himself. He lowered himself in front of that person. Right? But the general rule is what this person did. This prince, his behavior, that is the general rule. That you won't put yourself into disgrace and embarrassment. Right? So many a time you will find even a person in employment. A person is in employment. And in that job, he is being disgraced. He is being put down, right? And sometime he is even being asked to compromise his own dini principles. And now just because, no, that's the boss now, you know. That's the boss now, never mind. Must just keep quiet. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives the rizq. Allah is the one who gives the rizq. We don't have to put ourselves so down. Don't have to put ourselves so down for anything. Allah Ta'ala, if a person turns to Allah, Allah will provide for him with respect also. Allah Ta'ala will take care of his needs with respect. So we don't put ourselves into disgrace. Right? There is one incident that is mentioned here of Mullah Jami, Rahmatullah Ali. He was also a scholar, a lot of education, etc. But he was looking for a sheikh. Many ulama also, many professional people, business people. But a time comes in the person's life where the person realizes that, you know what, I got to put myself right. And at that point, the person then looks for assistance. He looks for a sheikh who can assist him in this path. So this is an ajeeb incident. The Mullah Jami Rahmatullahi, he went now to look for a sheikh. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali mentions that in those days, the mashayikh of the Naqshbandi silsila. So Hazratji mentioned that, see, we are linked to all the silsilas. All the silsilas we are linked. However, the silsila that is predominant is the Chistiya silsila. You'll find amongst our akabirin, the silsila that is predominant is the Chistiya silsila. And in that silsila, you'll find a lot of humility, a lot of zuhud, you know, simplicity, etc. But the Naqshbandi, mashayikh in those days, they used to live in lot of comfort. Some of them were very wealthy also. And amongst their murids also were very wealthy people. So, Mullah Jami Rahmatullah Ali went, now he's looking for a sheikh, and he goes to one buzurg who was from the Naqshbandi silsila. So first thing, when he came to the house, he see there's a doorman there, bell boy or whatever you want to call security at the door. So he had to obtain permission now to enter, which is, you go to Akabirin's houses and all, you don't find that. So this was the first thing that now, you know, may have got him thinking. But anyway, he took permission and he went forward. So as he moved the curtain, because I don't know if you traveled India, in front of the door they'll have one curtain, you know. So as he moved the curtain, the scene that he took in, his gaze fell on the furnishings inside. Very luxurious carpets were on the floor, large soft pillows against the wall. The buzurg is sitting with the pomp of royalty. See, reminding me of one incident. One day, one of our elder musallis from Masjid al-Taqwa, like an uncle to us, so he bought one new Mercedes-Benz. I'm not mistaken, I think it was an S-Class Mercedes-Benz. You know? So he told me, Maulana, taking delivery of the car today, first trip we're making with this car we're doing for program. And it so happened, program was in Bitter Street on that night. So he came with the car from Durban, took delivery, and he said, no, I'm going back, I'm going for program. And you driving, you must feel this machine, you know, try it out. Say, chalo, man. So we went for program, we came back. So one person sent me an email after that. He said, you're not a very good example, you know. So that is true. We are not good examples. But his whole problem was with the car. His whole problem was with the car. How can you be sitting in that kind of car, driving that kind of car? So what example are you setting? Allah Ta'ala protect us. He didn't know the other side of the coin. The same uncle, when I just started off there in Masjid al-Taqwa, so that time also he bought one new Mercedes-Benz, you know. I think it was an E-Class that time. So he happened to park in my parking. I had one parking there. Call it my parking, not my parking. Now it's a wuzukana. But that was the parking. So our car used to park there. So I was gone somewhere else for Juma. So he parked there. And it was just the first month or something. So the talk went, you know, three people like talk, gossip and peanut gallery and keyboard warriors and, you know, all these things happen. The talk went around. He said, no, when Taqwa is looking for a second imam, must apply quickly because they pay very well. The mourner just started there, he already pulled out an E-class book. So anyway, when he walked in there, he sees now all these cushions and, you know, and this buzurg, he's sitting there, leaning against the cushions, sitting, you know, comfortable. So on seeing all of this, Mullah Jami Rahimahullah, he recited a line of poetry. He said, the Ahlullah, those who are wasil bil haq, cannot be infatuated by the dunya. He recited this and he turned around and he went away. He went and spent the night in the masjid. Where is he going to go now? So he went and spent the night in the masjid. At night, he sees a dream. In the dream, he sees one person coming to him. So Mullah Jami asks him in the dream, he says, I want to travel the road to Allah Ta'ala. Can you show me the way? So this person answered, you had the road, but you left it. This person told him, you had the road, but you left it. So Mullah Jami's eyes open, is very perplexed. It was still early, so he dozed off again. Second time when he dozed off, he's dreaming that it's the day of Qiyamah, the day of Hashar. Accounts are being taken. Mullah Jami Rahimullah saw himself there as well. Some people came to him demanding money that he owes to them. So he was agitated, he had no money by him, and these people are being owed. So he sees a carriage coming, you know, closed carriage coming. There's somebody sitting in the carriage, and there is an attendant also with this person. So this carriage was placed on the ground. The attendant came to Mullah Jami Rahimullah and told him that, see, this sheikh in this carriage has offered to settle your debts. And he took out the money, gave it to him. Money was handed over and he was able to then settle his debts. And Mullah Jami now was off the hook, because now he got no other problems. So curious to know who that person is in the carriage, he approaches that carriage in his dream. When he goes there, he sees the same buzurg. The same buzurg was sitting there in pomp and glory, he sees the same buzurg. So anyway, he is more perplexed now. He woke up, he waits for the night to pass. At the time of Fajr, he sees the sheikh coming into the masjid. So he rushes forward, rushes to him to go and ask him for maafi. When he goes to him, he's about to fall at his feet. The sheikh stops him. He says, no, 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 that's not necessary. However, the couplet you read yesterday, can you repeat it? So he's telling him that, no, it was my error, you know, my fault. I'm asking you for forgiveness. The sheikh told him, no, 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 I'm serious. The couplet that you read yesterday you read it for your happiness. Yesterday you read it for your happiness. Today you read it to make me happy. Today you read it to make me happy. So he recited the same line again. The Ahlullah, those who are wasil bil haq, cannot be infatuated by the dunya. So the sheikh, he added to this. He said, if one who is a real haqiqi, mahbub of Allah Ta'ala, one who is truly a beloved of Allah Ta'ala, he keeps the dunya as a friend. If one who is a true beloved of Allah Ta'ala and he is keeping the dunya as a friend, then know that he is only keeping it for the sake of a friend. He's keeping it for the sake of a friend. If a friend had asked for financial help and he had a right over one, somebody else, so as per the order of Allah Ta'ala, the money was used for the friend. It was not for oneself, not for elevating one's prestige, not for promoting one's status and grandeur, not for the sake of hubbejah, not hubbejah is love for fame, not for the sake of hubbe mal, love for wealth, only for hubbe ilahi, the love of Allah Ta'ala. So, sometime you'll find this. Sometime you'll find this also. That some buzurg, he may be having some very wealthy friends too. Sometime he too may be a wealthy person. But you will find that that wealth of his also, he is using for the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. The wealth also that Allah Ta'ala gave him, he uses for the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. So, wealth in itself is not a bad thing. In fact, wealth in the hands of a good person is a great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, all our masajid that get built, our madaris that get built, all the different dini works that take place, all the widows, the orphans, the poor, the destitute, who is supporting all these people? If you're going to say, wealth is no good, so who is supporting all these people? You require the wealth? You require the wealth also? And so many people whom Allah has blessed with wealth, they do so much of work quietly. Quietly they do their work and they carry on. Allah Ta'ala give us. Now, you see, one is istighna, right? Independence. And the other is istighbar. The opposite. Inshallah, try and keep the majlis in mind. And next week, we'll continue with the opposite. There's just one point of something we just want to discuss quickly. I mentioned to the students on Friday, I think it was, or Saturday morning, that Mufti Taha Karan of Cape Town, he had passed away, you know, on the day of Jumu'ah. He was not well, and Allah Ta'ala gave him maut on the day of Jumu'ah. So he was, there's no doubt that he was, you know, he had a lot of knowledge and he did a lot of khidmat of deen also. Yes, there were certain views of his, certain fatawa of his, certain opinions of his that we differ, we feel he erred, right? But that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib rahmatullah, and he mentioned that if you differ with somebody on one point, something you got a difference with somebody, or somebody made some mistake, can be a big error also, you can't throw water on everything else that he did in his life. You can't throw water on everything else that he did in his life. When it comes to this, with regards to the Shia, Mufti Sahib, Mufti Taha, he had established that Mahajja, and so many ulama around the country had taken benefit from him. He had vast knowledge when it comes to that. And many other things, he was running a Darul Uloom there, he was serving on different levels. In fact, lot of our muftis from the different Darul Ulooms, because now we are Hanafis, when they used to receive queries from a person following the Shafi'i madhab, they used to forward the queries to him. I know of some Shafi'i people that were living in our area when we were staying in Allendale, and they too used to, you know, they needed some masla in the Shafi'i fiqh, they used to contact him and they used to get their masla masail. So, you know, the differences that we may have had on different issues, especially now with this, whatever happened now in the recent past, right? But that doesn't take away the fact that the person was a knowledgeable person. He did a lot of khidmat of deen throughout his life. And, you know, he passed away on iman. He didn't renounce deen and pass away. He passed away on iman. So if a person passes away on iman, we make dua and maghfirat for the person. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant the person high ranks, high stages in Jannah. Mauna Yunus Daya, Naun Barakatu, mentioned very beautifully that on the one hand he passed away with this bimari, and we all say that this bimari is a pandemic or whatever, so it's a type of a shahadat maut, and that too Allah Ta'ala gave him a Juma maut, right? So, now the unfortunate thing, and this is the point that I wanted to mention to you, is that unfortunately, today we are all exposed to the social media, and some people are just very, very irresponsible on the social media platforms. And even after somebody passed away, they don't leave the person alone. The person has passed away now. Right? Now, he passed away. Now make dua and maghfirat. He is a believer. He is a ummati of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now people are still talking ill and still talking with so much of venom. So what do we want? Do we want to see people burning in Jahannam? That's the only thing will make us happy. Is that the only thing that will make our heart happy? We see people burning in Jahannam. Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will carry on interceding, making sifarish. Even a person with a little bit of iman also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making sifarish. And will come a point when even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't be able to recognize the iman in the last people's hearts in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now everybody is out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, yeah, now everybody is out. Allah Ta'ala say, no, there's still more people who passed away with some iman. Yeah? So our desire is everybody must bring iman, everybody must pass away on iman. Everybody must go to Jannah, right? And if everybody makes mistake, and sometimes a person can make a sincere mistake. So what we differ with, we differ, right? What we differ with, we still differ, right? But you differ with respect. You differ with respect, right? So sometimes we ask ourselves, that our differing, is it for Allah Ta'ala or for what? Because if you take the example of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they took swords for one another. In the battle of Jamal, etc., Siffin, etc. They fought against one another with swords, right? But at the end of the day when fighting was over, they're sitting with one another like brothers. Because their difference was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. We got our view here on this matter. You got your view on this matter. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I have to stand against you and I have to fight against you. That's what I believe. Right? But as soon as the fighting was done, yeah, tomorrow if we live, that's another day of fighting. But for now, you need water, I'm giving you water. You need food, I'm giving you food. You got a wound, I'm helping you. You got a wound, I'm helping you. They were sitting and talking. The well was a place where they used to sit together. And that was, they decided anybody goes for water, there's no fighting there. So they used to meet there and talk. The one coming from opposite army. They meet there at the well, they're talking like brothers. Because their difference was for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So we must watch ourselves, you know. We must watch ourselves. And if other people are saying whatever they are saying, and some people they are at war, and some people are on what and what and whatever, my, you know what, this is my advice to myself and to you. We got our own hashar. You know? We got our own containers of gunas, and our own containers of mistakes. We got no time to talk ill of people who have passed away. Nobody has got the right to talk ill of anybody. A believer who has passed away, talk good of the person. Antum shuhada'ullahi ala al-ard. You are the witnesses of Allah Ta'ala on earth. Talk good of people who have passed away. Don't talk ill of people. Yes, a person could have erred. If whatever mistake could have been there, we got a difference. But that doesn't mean now that we got a problem with him now. That after he passed away too, we're still talking so much of filth. So if you receive any messages like that on your cell phones, and don't even forward it to anybody. Don't even forward it to anybody. Just delete it. Delete these kind of things. And you know, sometime I mentioned this before, that okay, think about it. Think of little insaniyat we must have. That if that person, he passed away now. And now we are writing, not we, whoever is writing a whole lot of filth and wrong things, right? Imagine that Mufti Sahab's mother has to read that. His wife have to read that. If his children have to read that. Is it a right thing? So we must think a little bit. Right? Now he has passed away. Whatever he did in his life, he passed away, he's gone. Allah Ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive. Allah Ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive. Right? So he did a lot of good work in his life also. You can't just throw all that away too. So the judging, we leave it to Allah Ta'ala. We make dua and maghfirat. And make dua for him and for all the marhumin. Send Isa alayhi sawab for everybody. Right? And I'm telling you, those who are my friends, those who are, we don't have, you know, authority over the whole world, but whoever wants to take this piece of advice, that please don't talk ill of anybody. And especially people who have passed away. And ulama, etc., who gives us the right? Who gives us the right? Don't talk ill of people. Don't forward these kind of messages. Speak good. And if we can't say anything good, then rather keep quiet. Keep quiet if you can't say anything good. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Allah keep us with iman, take us with iman, resurrect us with iman. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka as-siha wal-iffa wal-amana wa husna al-khulq wal-ridha bil-qadr. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.